This was a remarkable experience.
Oh, thank
Yeah,
you.
I just feel that sort of excitement about this journey that God has us on.
Hey fam, welcome to the Prophetic Listening Podcast, the art of hearing God's perfect will, the podcast that invites you to tune into God's guidance and discover his flawless plan for your life. I'm Michelle Onora, your host, and I'm thrilled to have you here. I'm an author, speaker, and spiritual direction coach, as well as the founder and director of the Center for Prophetic Listening. In a world filled with noise and distractions, finding clarity in God's will can be a challenge, especially if you're facing significant life transitions. Whatever challenges you're encountering, you're about to learn how to discern God's perfect will for both significant and everyday situations. So tune in, open your heart, and embark with me on this sacred quest to hear God's voice and discern his perfect will for your life. Welcome to the Prophetic Listening Podcast. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Prophetic Listening Podcast. Super stoked that you're here with me. Today, I have a very special guest. He is a writer for himself and others. He is an author. He's a speaker. He is a podcaster. He's an educator. He's also a minister. So he actually has his doctorate, y'all. He has his doctorate in ministry, and he specializes in abolitionist theology, which blew my mind when I found out that that even exists. So welcome to the show, Dr. Chris Burton. Welcome.
Hey, thank you so much, Michelle. It's wonderful to be here with you. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. So Chris, even though it's been a minute since we've seen each other, I consider you a friend. I'm so proud of you. So proud of the work that you've done. Not only did you earn your doctorate, and I watched you kind of go through the process, at least the tail end of the process, but you also are a TEDx speaker. So you're pretty accomplished. And you're a husband and a father. So I don't know how you did all that at the same time, and you're still educating and speaking and doing your thing. Like tell our people a little bit more about your background and the mission of your work.
Yeah, sure. So I would say, my work is really a part of God's calling on all of our lives, which is to co-create with God, right? So when we think of ourselves as artists and we think of ourselves as, you know, people who want to leave things more beautiful than they found it, you know, that's really in lockstep with what I understand as abolition, right? So getting rid of these things that prevent us from being able to do what God has called us to do, right? So it could be as simple as we're just getting out of the holiday season, and so many people are just like, oh, wouldn't it be nice if every day was like this? Not just, you know, the sitting around in pajamas on the couch eating cookies, not just that part, but also the part where you're able to, you know, take up hobbies that you often neglect, or be able to spend time with people that you only get to see during the holidays. All of these ways in which God has called us into community, God has called us into relationship, and God has called us to beautify the world. And by beautifying the world, we glorify God's name. I think of all of that in the scope of what it means to be an abolitionist theologian.
Yeah, yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. And I also love with your work, you really call people to, particularly in the church, to embrace racial harmony, to embrace unity, ultimately, right? And so, yeah, your work. In fact, guys, I'm going to mention this now, and I'm going to mention it at the end of the episode. But he has a really, really cool Substack called Baddest Chaplain, which I love that name, baddestchaplain.substack.com. Definitely check out his work and his writing there. And I'm going to put the link in the show notes and all of that for this episode. But yeah, so I'm really excited that you're here, you're on this podcast, and that you even agreed to do it, because with prophetic listening, I know it's, you're a believer, strong believer. How do you typically hear God speak? Because I know this is going to be a little bit different than what you've experienced. So tell me about your understanding of God's voice and how you tend to hear him and interact with him.
You know, I love this question so much, Michelle, because I think about it in terms of two different things. One, that for some reason in my life and experience, crisis makes God's voice super clear to me. Like there have been moments when I've been going through, you know, very, very difficult times. Like I'm a lupus warrior. I've been living with lupus for 12 years.
Wow.
And part of that has meant that I've had some very long hospitalizations. Mm-hmm. And in those hospitalizations, there have been moments, frankly, where I've heard God's voice as clearly as I'm hearing your voice, Michelle. And it's really just been, you know, I remember being in the hospital and telling my wife that I feel like I'm more up there than I am down here right now, just because of how frail my body was. But in healthy times and in, frankly, from my understanding, good times, I will say I really hear God speak to me clearly through scripture. You know, like in my devotional time as I'm reading, I'm like, oh, yeah, that is what I'm going through. It's funny, I'm reading this right now. You know what I mean?
It's always timely.
Moments. Yeah, it's very timely. I was like, is there a date on this? Like, you know, like you kind of feel that way. But really, you know, that sense of in the stillness, that when you turn off the noise and you know, you're not just going from noise to noise, you know, mm-hmm. where you're not waking up and checking your phone immediately. And then you put on whether it's like the radio or TV or something, but you just allow yourself to be still. So sometimes it can be while I'm walking my dog and I just, you know, not just am praying, but I stop and want to listen to God. I'll hear God speak to me. And it's been funny the ways in which I've heard God speak to me through people. Where a person who I know, they do not know what's bothering me right now. They don't have any connection to the situation, but they say something to me that's so clear that it has to be the voice of God speaking through them to me because it's meeting a particular need. And I just always have found it to be like, Lord, you have a great sense of humor, but also the fact that it just reinforces to me that God can use anyone.
Yeah. I always tell myself this and some people in my life, if God can use a donkey,
right.
Talk to a donkey.
Exactly. Right.
He's anybody.
Anybody. We're all available. Right.
Exactly. And I do love that you mentioned that about, cause of course scripture is an extremely powerful and really primary way that God speaks to his children. Mm. And if anything you hear from him doesn't align with scripture, then you can check that out.
Right.
But, I love that you mentioned that God can speak through others. And sometimes I personally enjoy it when I hear something repeated through the mouths of multiple people and they have no idea.
Right.
That was confirmation. Oh, that's the third time I'm hearing that. That's the fourth time I'm hearing that. Okay, God, I hear you.
Loud and clear. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Are you a dreamer? Do you get dreams?
Oh yes. Yes, I am. Yeah. Even during this, holiday season, I got some very, very clear dreams. I remember a dream that I got years ago. I want to say, Michelle, it has to have been over a decade ago. And this is before I even thought about writing any book, right? That wasn't even like a goal of mine. I remember dreaming, and the dream was like I was hearing myself have a conversation with my wife and with like friends, and we were like celebrating. And I remember in the dream saying, oh, I'm so glad this book did well so we can pay off all these loans. Like, I just remember hearing that.
Yeah.
And it's something that I've just sort of like, you know, taped to that sort of like the desk in my brain of like, you know, this whenever
that's a promise time, in there.
That's what I'm saying. Like whenever it's time, it's really going to be something special. So I'm excited in advance, like praising God in advance.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Definitely a beautiful preview of things to come, like Joseph experience. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Awesome. Okay. Well, like I said earlier, I want to make sure I'm honoring your time. So let's go ahead and dive into the session. Friends who are watching us, I joined with Chris a little bit before hitting record and kind of gave him a bit of a rundown of what prophetic listening is, how it works, what to expect. He went and grabbed his paper and his pen. So I was like, you need to have that. And we're going to go ahead and jump right into the kind of the questions that are on your heart. So if you were, Chris, to ask the Lord, maybe two or three things, what would they be? Like, what's on your heart that you'd want to just allow him to pour into you about?
I think the first question that comes to mind is whether I'm supposed to bloom where I'm planted and just, like plant gardens there and really, set up shop. Or is this an oasis period? Is God brought me here to sort of, recharge, be restored, and then go on to the next assignment,
Okay. So, am I to bloom where I'm planted, i.e., have kind of a long-term trajectory here, or is this kind of a temporary but purposeful reprieve until the next assignment? Okay. Gotcha. All right. What's your next question?
Yeah, just asking God for that. I think all of these are within the wheelhouse of purpose, but really asking God for a sense of clarity in terms of the communities that I'm a part of, and just really getting a good sense of, very similar to the first question, like, am I to look back and like sort of fortify the communities that I've been a part of since day one, or am I supposed to help cultivate something new with people who, are new friends and new family, but are still important?
It almost sounds like you're asking the Lord which to pour your energy into primarily as far as
Oh, that's
relationships
a
go.
lovely way to phrase it. Yeah.
Okay.
So much a
I'm
better
kind
way
of
to
good at
say it.
this.
Let me clean that up for you.
Okay. Not a problem. And that's a good question to ask. And frankly, even for our listeners and our viewers, I would highly recommend that you ask yourself and ask the Lord this, really primarily the Lord, on a regular basis. Who do you want me to invest my energy into? Who are the key people that you're wanting me to do life with? To Because everything is an investment of energy, right? It may not be an investment of money, but it's an investment of energy. It's an investment of time. It's an yeah. So, excellent question. Okay. Do you have a third and final one?
I would ask God to show me how to develop the ideas that I have into the most impactful spaces. Like, which ideas are supposed to be nonprofit ideas, which ideas are business ideas, which ideas are, volunteer ideas, just really cultivating the ideas so that they bring forth the most impact.
Okay. All right. Chris, you got your audio got a little bit low as you were talking. That's how I can tell you're concentrating. This has always happened when we have meetings. When you're in your think mode, your voice gets softer.
That's true, because it's really like the thing I know I'm confident I'm going to project it, but I'm like, let me still work on this.
Yeah, so
So I'll lean forward as I'm thinking quietly,
okay, no worries, no worries. So for those of you who didn't hear the previous question, he asked basically how do I cultivate and develop the various ideas that I have to make the most impact, and which ones are kind of in a nonprofit, maybe pro bono perspective, and which ones are for profit, for revenue, for multiplication, at least financially. So great question. That's a very strategic question. You have a lot of strategic questions going here, which is
Oh, for sure.
smart. Yeah. Okay, cool. So let's go ahead and get started. I wrote down the questions that you mentioned on my sheet. Hope that you have them on yours. Make sure that you leave some space underneath each question because we're expecting the Lord to speak. And basically, the way this is going to work, I'm going to clear the room. And for those of you listening for the first time, when I say clear the room, I'm basically commanding any demonic or counterfeit spirits to be silent, and also reaffirming the authority that we have over our flesh so that we can just hear Holy Spirit in spirit and in truth, and not our own fleshly desires that like to crop up and speak for for us. So, and once I finish clearing the room, I'll ask the very first question aloud. And we'll just take some time to listen for that. Now, Chris, the only thing I need you to do is tell me when you feel like you're ready, when you feel like you've received, you know, whatever it is that Holy Spirit's impressing upon you. I know that you said that you hear him primarily through still small voice, through sometimes a feeling and annoying. So whatever that is, just make note of it. Okay. And then we'll compare our answers and then we'll move on to the next question. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay. Let's get started. So Lord, we just thank you for this time. I want to thank you, Father, for Chris's heart to listen and to hear your voice and your voice alone. We come to you with expectant and grateful hearts. Your word says in James 1:5 that you impart your wisdom liberally on all who ask for it. And so we just take you at your word. Lord, we repent for all of our sins, sins of omission and commission. We come to you with clean hearts and pure consciences, and we receive the forgiveness that your son died to give us. We renounce, disavow, and change our minds over any agreement with the enemy or the things of the enemy, and we plead the blood of Jesus over us afresh. In the name of Jesus, I command any spirit that is not of God to be bound and silenced by the blood and the authority of Jesus Christ. Any spirit of deception, confusion, disorder, any spirit trying to disguise itself as God's voice, we cut off your tongues and silence your voice. I banish you from our presence and bind you to the foot of the cross. Every last spirit, named or not named, that is not of Jesus, you are banished from this place, rendered ineffective, and completely silenced. I revoke any invitation extended to you, knowingly or unknowingly, by me or by Chris. Leave now, go to the foot of the cross, and do not return. We are children of the Most High King, and you are not allowed to speak to us or bring any sort of deception, confusion, or influence of any kind in the name of Jesus. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus over our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our bodies. We command our flesh to be silent and still for the duration of this session. We place our minds, thoughts, understandings, and biases on the shelf, and we invite Holy Spirit to come to a place of prominence inside of us. Holy Spirit, take the driver's seat of our beings. We submit all of our beings, our minds, our wills, and our emotions to you. Let us see what you see. Let us hear what you hear. Let us perceive what you and only you perceive. We want to receive what you have to say through your spotless lens. So Lord, I just thank you for your voice, your presence, and your willingness to speak. We thank you that we're here to hear your voice alone. And we come to you with expectant hearts, ready to receive what you have to deposit to your son. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Right. So Lord, we just lift up the first question to you, which is, are you calling Chris to bloom where he's currently planted? And really remain and anticipate being planted where he is for a prolonged time? Or is this a temporary reprieve, oasis, in preparation for his next assignment that you're moving him on to? What do you have to say about this, Lord? Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what'd you get?
I don't know how I didn't mention this, but another way that I hear the Lord speak to me is through songs.
Yes. Yes. I love that.
I don't know why I neglected that. And as soon as you asked the question, I heard a reggae song by this group named Third World called Fret Not Thyself. Right. Mm. Which and I wrote down like, fret not thyself over evildoers. Trust in God, trust the Lord.
Ooh.
And that was like this, refrain, and that sounds like they say, trust in Jah, or like they say that like over and over, like Jah Jah, and like I just kept hearing that, it's like fret not thyself, trust in the Lord, and I just kept hearing that. And even as I'm saying that to you, I often will feel the Holy Spirit's presence like a warm hug, and as I'm saying that to you, I just feel this like the same way I'd like hug my kid, like you're good,
like he's
right.
Got you.
Yeah, 100%.
What's the name of that group again?
Third World.
Third World? So Christian reggae?
This is a reggae artist. I don't know if they're like probably Rastafarians, definitely.
Fair enough. but I love the message.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. Okay, so I'll tell you what I heard, because I feel like it's on the same wavelength. Mm. I heard him say, plant. You will not be here forever, but there is much I have for you here. And then he reminded me of, I think it was Jeremiah who said that the Israelites would be in, in exile for X number of years. And they were like, but I felt like he was saying, don't worry, I'm not going to keep you here for like 70 years. Like, it's not going to be like that. You know, I felt like he was saying, and that's really, I felt like he was saying, that's really the concern that you have. Like, oh, am I going to be stuck here forever? And I feel like he's saying, no, you will be here for a time, but you won't be here forever. And then he said, there's much I have for you here. Your projects and offshoots will grow, flourish, and thrive as you pay your bills and work from provision, not desperation. Mm-hmm. I am with you.
Yeah. Love that. Work from provision, not desperation, is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Make sense?
Oh, a ton of sense. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Good.
Absolutely.
Ready for the next question?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Lord, we just thank you for what you've revealed so far. And I thank you that you will, and I just also feel like very strongly saying this, he will make it so clear to you, Chris, when it's time for you to move on, because he will open the next door. So like, mm-hmm. it's not even going to be he will just open the next door and it will be smooth and honorable transition. So, mm-hmm. so Lord, we just thank you for that. Father, we lift up the next question to you, which is, which relationships do you want Chris to invest most of his energy into? Do you want him to focus on fortifying past communities, past relationships, or do you want him to focus on cultivating the new friendships and the new people he has in his life? What do you want him to gear his energy primarily into? Ready?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you get?
Yeah, it was interesting because I just felt alone but not lonely.
Mm.
Like I didn't feel isolated or cut off in like in a bad way, but I just felt like alone, like maybe a better way to explain it, like set apart.
Yeah.
Like I didn't feel in the middle of a whole bunch of people. I just felt like I was over here, but I didn't feel like lonely or cold, mm-hmm. or like afraid. I just was like over here.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds, God does that a lot. Did it with Moses, did it with Elijah, did it with Elisha, did it with a lot of people who were set apart.
A common theme, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I heard. I heard both. Honor the old and establish the new. I will highlight who is worthy of your time, energy, and focus. Trust me, my son. The people I've called you to will remain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a comfort.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a real comfort.
And it makes sense, too, because when you're set apart, you know, it's not as if these relationships just easily stay, remain, or develop. It's like it has to be God's hand and divine appointment on it.
Yeah, right.
For these things to, you know, really develop and flourish,
mm-hmm.
And last. And so I kind of got this sense that he was like, if you will just entrust me with this, yeah, I will make it obvious. And all you have to do is just like step into it. So it's he'll open the door and you just step into it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Which to me I'm sensing a bit of like a theme, like with at least the first two questions of like, just like trust that God is in control, you know, rather than trying to like use your own agency to figure out like, what's the next step or like, who's the right person? Like God's like, chill out.
Yeah. One of the things I've liked to do with him is just ask him, please just make it obvious, you know. In fact, I'd like to pray this prayer, like, God, please just make it obnoxiously clear, so that I don't have to do a bunch of guesswork. And he's been very faithful to do that for me
in
a lot of things. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right. Ready for the last one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Lord, we just thank you for what you've revealed to Chris so far. And we want to lift up this next question to you, which is a big one, Lord. How do you want Chris to cultivate and develop the various ideas, projects, initiatives that you've placed on his heart in order to make the most impact? And what does that look like in terms of what's for profit, what's not for profit? We just ask you to give a perspective, your perspective on how he's to organize these things in his heart and his mind and with his effort and energy. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what'd you get?
This was a lot.
Nice. You share.
So first, you know, in the middle of you praying, Michelle, like I just heard like blessed to be a blessing. And then just like a lot of like short words or phrases like overflow. This is in the Patois, but I couldn't really like think of a way to translate into English that had the same power, but like kyandon, and then like surely goodness, joy. Like just very bombastic feelings came in my head. Yeah. I'll just say this sense of like, you know, if you were by like a river or some sort of like body of water that like is connected to other systems of water, so it's always replenishing and always being replenished. Like it doesn't have to wonder or worry about drying up.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. That's exciting. Overflow, bubbling up. I feel like that as soon as you said that, it reminds me of my cup runneth over.
Yeah.
My cup runneth over. Yeah. So what I heard was your writing.
Yeah.
Your writing is to make the biggest impact. Mm-hmm. Seek to be published and lecture from your publications. Mm-hmm. And as I heard that, I saw Cornel West's face. And then I even though I saw his face, I kind of got the sense that the business model would be very similar to mm-hmm. his and his branding, but I felt like the Lord was saying, but from a place of wisdom and unity, particularly mm-hmm. gospel.
Yeah.
And then I heard him say, "And all you do point back to my name."
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, I was reminded of Timothy Keller.
Mm-hmm,
and how
mm-hmm.
in all of his messages he would always go back to the gospel. He'd always right. bring it back to what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like he was saying that there's going to be like a recognition and an ability in academia mm-hmm. for your platform to kind of be elevated and raised mm-hmm. very similar to how Cornel West's kind of platform developed, but that the difference is yours will be from a place of biblical wisdom and unity
mm-hmm.
versus just political
right.
dialogue and exchange and sure. kind of a secular perspective, which, you know, yeah. So
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I saw.
Cool.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. I mean, man, that's just a very, very humbling. I think about, you know, you just mentioned two very prolific contributors to the conversation. It really resonates with my experience in terms of, you know, I have like a home office and I'm sitting where I am right now to write or work on a podcast. Sometimes I'm getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, or just sometimes the Lord will just wake me up whenever. And I'm like, God, you know, I got work today. It's like, I think about how in those moments, whether it's like, you know, I'm reading scripture and I'm writing notes on it so I can create, you know, my morning meds series on social media or writing for a sermon or something to that effect, how I don't really feel like I'm working.
Mm.
You know, like I'm creating, I'm being extremely productive.
Yes.
But I don't feel the same way I would if I were like toiling over a spreadsheet you know, cleaning up my garage. You know what I mean? Like it just feels so joyful and it's really
because you're in your calling. You're doing what's aligned with your calling.
Yeah.
It's work, but it's kind of like what Timothy Keller wrote in Every Good Endeavor.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's work without the curse of the toil.
Yes. Yes, precisely it. That's a beautiful space to be, you know?
It is. And I feel like as as he gives you, and he's going to give it to you step by step. It's not like it's all going to happen all at once, but he's going to, it's going to, I just feel it. And just saying this as I'm sensing it, that he is going to expand you and expand your reputation in this area so that more and more and more of your day and your time feels like that toil-less work, that it feels like that work that's in alignment with your calling, until eventually all the toil stuff is gone.
Amen to that.
Oof. May not be the case for all of us, in Jesus' name.
I'm telling you that, but you know, that to me is what, when I write about abolition theologically, I'm talking about us taking the Lord's Prayer seriously. Mm-hmm. So when we say on earth as it is,
as it is in heaven,
like that's what we mean. Ding, ding, ding. You know, we're up there glorifying God continually, right? Yeah. Let us be down here glorifying God continually with all that we do.
Yeah,
that's not going to feel like work. I didn't mean to preach on your podcast, but
that's good. Hey, you welcome to preach on this podcast. Yes,
you know what I mean. Like that's what we're talking about. Is living your life so on fire for God, mm-hmm. within the confines of your calling? Because sometimes folks feel like, oh, because I love God, I got to like quit whatever job I'm doing,
yeah.
and go do this. No. God wants you to glorify God through that occupation,
yes.
because no occupation can slow down the vocation, the calling that God has on your life. And that's really what it all starts to just like, you know, that's how we bring the kingdom.
Pastor, Reverend Dr. Burton. I love it.
Yeah.
You know? Well, okay, so now that we've gone through the questions, I always like to close this out in prayer, just thanking the Lord for what, mm-hmm. he revealed, and just blessing you, blessing everything that he's said over you. So if you don't mind, I'll do that real quick, because I know we're a little over time, okay?
All good.
Okay. Lord, we just thank you so much for this time and this opportunity to come before you and to receive the words that you have deposited to your son, Chris. We thank you, Lord, that you have called him to bloom where he's planted, and that you're allowing him to bloom wherever he's planted, Lord, that for however long or however short you have him in a particular season, you will cause him to thrive wherever he is, Lord. And we also thank you, Father, for giving him wisdom in navigating his relationships, that you will give him, I feel like he's saying, I will give you wisdom on the spot, very similar to how the Lord told his disciples, like, I will put the words in your mouth when it's time for you to speak. So he'll give you timely wisdom. And Lord, we just thank you also for laying out the steps, the baby steps, the, I don't know why I'm seeing Michael Jackson's Billie Jean, where he's stepping on the lit up steps. I feel like the Lord is saying it will be like that. I will light the next step and you'll step on it. So we just thank you for that, Father, that you are his navigator, that you are his ultimate navigator, and that you will lead Chris and guide him and his family in the direction that they are to embark on, for their good and for your glory. Bless him, bless his work, protect him, Lord, bless his health, God. We thank you, Father, for complete healing. We thank you, Father, for divine intervention in the areas where he needs it. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing the work of his hands, and causing everything he touches to turn to gold. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Oh, my goodness.
So I ask all of my guests this, whoever experiences a prophetic listening for the first time, what'd you think, and how would you describe it if somebody were to ask you what prophetic listening is?
This was a remarkable experience.
Thank you.
I just feel that sort of excitement about this journey that God has us on, that it's the good kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something that you could never fool yourself or play yourself into thinking you did this. This was all me, my just, you know, self-made over here. No, it's a lie. It's a complete lie. And so when you just get, I really believe, Michelle, that God gives us these foretastes of eternity, these like ways that like eternity, just like a snowflake falling to the ground, just like fall into time. And it this felt like that. Like, you know, even you're like, oh, I'm repressed for time. I was like, we're good. Like, whatever has to happen that, you know, the next hour is fine. It'll be okay. Like, this is really important, because it felt like an interruption to time as we're normally constrained, and we just were getting a glimpse of the eternal. So that's what this feels like, just sort of stepping out of time into that eternal presence with God for a bit, you know, which is beautiful.
I love that. That's a beautiful summary. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you for agreeing to be on the show. And again, for people who are wanting to find your work, it is Baddest Chaplain.
Yeah, Baddest Chaplain. Yeah, sorry, that substack.com. And also I have a chrisburtonspeaks.com if you want to watch any of the like video trailers of me chatting and TED Talk stuff and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And I will put both of those links on the show notes for this episode. So thank you so much, Chris, for agreeing to appear on this show, Dr. Burton, excuse me.
And family, you good?
and thank you guys for listening to this episode. Thank you for those of you who watched it. We will see you on the next episode. If you're interested in prophetic listening, you know where to go, propheticlistening.com. Oh, and leave a 5-star review, please. We'd really appreciate that. Thank you.
That's right.
Talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye. Hey, fam, I want to thank you for taking the time to watch this episode. I really, really hoped that you were blessed by it. If this taught you anything about hearing God more clearly, about listening to him with other people, if it inspired you watching other people connect with the voice of God, I want to encourage you, share this show. Don't be greedy. Don't keep this all to yourself. Share this show, let other people know about the Prophetic Listening Podcast, share it on your social, text a friend about it, bring it up in conversation, whatever that looks like for you. Also, if you could do me a huge solid and leave a review, guys, that helps increase visibility. There is nothing like word of mouth traction, so please leave a review. Lastly, if you want to connect with me on social media, you can hit me up on Instagram at TheMichelleAnora. You can also find my work, my resources, my e-courses, as well as the certification program on www.propheticlistening.com. Thank you again. Tune into the next episode. We're here every week. Can't wait to see you on the flip side. God bless.